It's good to be in the house of the Lord this afternoon. Amen. It's good to know we serve a risen Savior. Amen. As you open your Bibles up this afternoon, Genesis chapter 3. Dad already alluded to the calendar. Go ahead and take a look at it. Got a few services with some guest ministers as well. This weekend, Lord willing, I'll be leaving Friday back Saturday. We're watching another miracle happen. Brother Josh Tucker's getting married. So, I mean, that's a miracle, brother. No, I love Brother Josh. He's actually, he was here when we dedicated church. That's right. Three years ago, he's came testifying things. And sure appreciate the brother, but he's getting married. So I'll be gone that day. But Brother Alexander's going to preach on Sunday. But the Lord willing, I'll be back. I'll be in service still. After church today, and this, we got a thing we're doing for my younger brother today. So, as you have to go out without me, I guess. And I don't know. I just don't feel right. But really, I mean, it's hard. You get used to things, and I mean, I remember going to church where I don't remember if I ever went out with a pastor ever. And here we just, I thank the Lord for it. You got to have it on both sides. You got to have a pastor that loves you. You got to have people that love a pastor. You ain't going to want to go out together. And I think that's the kind of fellowship that we need in churches anyways. A lot of things we call fellowship, but they're really just get-togethers and waste-timers and stuff like that. But when we really get together as Christians and testify to each other and talk about the things of God and strengthen one another, that's what the fellowship of the church really needs. Amen. To know that you're not in this alone. There's other people believe this word. You're not Elijah up there, say, Lord, just kill me, forget it. I'm only one standing. He said, it's okay. Calm down, Elijah. I got 7,000 that haven't bowed the knee to Baal yet. So, amen. I reserve them for me. So, praise the Lord. But feel free to go out with each other, fellowship and things. And I don't know what we have next week. Ask the sisters, that's the one thing I delegated to my wife. You do that, I don't want nothing to do with it. Brother Roy let me know that, I guess, Sister Madonna back there got her car hit, and that's why they're a little late today. So, everything's okay, and Lord, take care of it, but they made it to service, so praise the Lord. Amen. Brother Herb, again, got to fellowship with the brother. You can tell he loves the Lord, and I appreciate him. It's good to have you with us again this afternoon. Now in our Bibles, let's get right into the Word today. Genesis chapter 3. I do have a strong subject, and this could take me a while, and if it goes too long, maybe we'll make it two. I don't know. But are you all right with that? You going to check out at 45? An hour? Brother, we're the message of the hour. 1 hour. Let the Lord have His way this service. Genesis 3, verse 9. The Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, Thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow thou shalt eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat, till thou return to the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for thus thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. I'd like to speak on, we've been speaking on the mysteries of the kingdom, and I've been holding off on this one for a while, but it's part 17, so I think we need to do it before I move on to a new service or a new series. But one of the greatest mysteries is the dual covenant. the dual covenant, but the covenant God had with man and the covenant God had with woman. And like I said, let's pray and pray that the Lord speaks to us this afternoon. Let's bow our heads before Him. Is there a need on your heart you'd like to lift and say, Lord, you know what's behind this hand? You're the only one that can help me, Lord, and I lifted you. God bless you. Hands all over. Let's pray with all our hearts. Heavenly Father, thank you for gathering the saints again today. And Lord, as we know, your word is truth. It's right. No matter what we feel or think, the word is always right. But Lord, it takes the Spirit to come and to anoint the word that we might receive it and it might save our souls. It might heal our sicknesses. It'll do what you promised it to do, Lord. And we give leeway to the Spirit today that you'll take the service into your hands. You'll take the preeminence, Lord. You'll speak through my lips. But God, hear through every heart that's here. Deliver every captive from the enemy, Lord, and bring them back to peace and health and comfort of your Spirit. Have your way today. Save every loss, Lord. Encourage every discouraged. Heal every sick. And Lord, more than anything, be glorified in our gathering together. We don't come just to be with one another, just to see one another. We come to see you, Lord, and we give you the red carpet, Lord. Have your way in this service, we pray. In Jesus Christ's name we ask you. Amen, amen. You may be seated this afternoon. The dual covenant, brother, sister. Coming out of the Bible here, I'm going to be all over, so I hope you have it and you can flip fast because I have a lot more notes. I've told you one time I gave away my secret. I said if I keep it at 4 pages, we got it here on time. But I didn't do that this time because this is one of those topics you can't skim over, you can't presume. God has given us the word for this day. God has opened up the seals and showed us the mystery behind one of the greatest confusions that's in the Christian church today, which is God's relationship in marriage, God's relationship to man and woman in the covenant that He established all the way back here in the book of Genesis. Now, if your doctrine doesn't work from Genesis, it ain't going to work the rest of the time either. You've got to be able to run it from Genesis to Revelations. And God has taken the seals and opened us and shown us the truth of this. And I pray by His help today we'll be able to do that. When God came to Adam, as we understand here in the Scriptures, it wasn't Adam looking for God, it was God looking for Adam. When a man becomes a sinner, when man has sin on his life, the first thing he'll do is try to hide it. When he can't hide it, he'll try to run from anything that reminds him of God at all because he doesn't want to think of the consequences of his decisions. He wants to go and be a little kid whistling in a graveyard pretending, I'm not scared. I'm not scared. I'm big, brave. I'm big, brave. No, you're lying to yourself, kid. You're scared to death. If that branch fell down, you'd be gone. And that's what happens to us when we get away from the Lord, isn't it? All of a sudden, you hear a lightning bolt and go, oh, man, judgment's coming for me. And we thank God for His grace that we have another day to put our heads down. See, grace isn't for you to go do whatever you want. Grace is God gives you another chance to come back and say, Lord, I'm sorry. Hallelujah. And if you come with an honest heart, there's a blood there waiting on you, brother, sister. All Adam and Eve had to do all the way back in this garden, we wouldn't even be talking about this covenant thing that I'm getting at today. Had they just done what they should have done right there in the garden, which was to come and say, Father, I've sinned. I know what you told me to do, and I didn't do it. I did the wrong thing. Father, forgive me. And that arms of love would have came all around him and said, oh, we'll take care of it, child. I didn't make you to destroy you. I made you to love you. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. But instead, as we see, one of the greatest curses a man can ever do is start making excuses. Right. Well, if it wasn't for that woman you gave me, God. That's what Adam said. And we understand later in the Bible, you'll find out Adam was not deceived, brother, sister. Adam knew exactly what he was doing. He knew it was wrong. Now, the woman, on the other hand, was deceived. She had been talked by this slicker and literally believed that what the serpent said was right. And that's why she's not permitted to preach, brother. That's right. That's Scripture. She don't need. She forfeited her rights all the way back then. I'm trying not to get ahead of myself because I want this to lay out just right. Because there was a covenant between God and man and woman, for that matter, before the fall happened. If you look in Genesis 1:27. After God had made man, this is what He said, verse 27. Well, He says it right before that, 26, let us make man in our image. But verse 27, so God created man in His own image. In the image of God created he him. And many people stop there, so they look and they say, well, here's God, and God's making a man, and that looks like him, and that was Adam, and we're done there. You know, wow, look at that. And then they just blaze over the rest of this and act like it doesn't mean anything. But brother, sister, look what it says. It says, male and female created he them. Where's Eve? Where? What's going on here? Read the next verse. And God blessed them. So there was a man and woman somewhere, because he's saying them now. And God blessed them and said unto them, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over every fowl of the air and over every living creature that moveth upon the earth. And now turn over with me to Genesis 5. And when God starts to talk about the genealogy here in the Bible of Adam, it says this. This is the book of the generations of Adam. And the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him. Again, just one. God, one God making one man. And then you read the next verse. Male and female created he them and blessed them and called their name Adam. Oh, in the day when they were created. So here before the fall happened, brother, sister, Eve was, I said Eve, I shouldn't even have said Eve. The female was there, but she had a name. Her name was identified with her husband. That's right. Before the fall, there wasn't a separation between them. For you to say Adam, they could both turn and say, what'd you want? Amen. That's right. They were one like it was supposed to be from the beginning. But after the fall, after they had made their mistake, if you look back, we'll turn back now real quick. We read from Genesis 3, 9 to 19. But if right after the fall, what happens? And it's so important. And if it wasn't for the message, brothers and sisters, we'd have blazed right over it. None of this made any sense. We just said he's a Trinity. I don't know what this means. Who knows? Let us make God or man in our image. So there's the old guy and there's the young man over there, Jesus somewhere. And there's a bird flying around. And somehow that image became Adam. And we all go, this don't make no sense. And then God pulled back the seals. God showed himself back there and said, that wasn't what it was at all. It was one God and there was one man, but there was a mystery hidden in this man. Hallelujah. But right after the fall, if you look in verse 20, and Adam called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living. So right after the fall, the first thing Adam fails to do is to change his wife's name. He had already said, call her woman, because she was taken from the man. And that's all woman means, is a part of a man. And that's exactly what she was. She was a rib before, and that God didn't create anything. He took that and made a woman out of it. So how do you do that? I don't know how you make a man in the first place. How do you do it? Just saying it. There it is. Poof. People struggle with a rib making a woman. How do you make a man out of nothing? But God did it. We got to get it out of here and get it in here and say, Lord, that's what the Word said. That's right. I don't need to explain it. I just believe it. Before the fall, Eve, I call her Eve so you know what I'm talking about. But Adam and Eve, the man and the woman, had one name. God addressed them both as Adam. But after the fall, now there was a change. Because God, when he brought the curse down on mankind, the covenant to the woman was not the same as the covenant to the man. That's right. There was a distinction made. And from that point, you get a dual covenant. And as much as society wants to tell us we can just hop the fence and do whatever we want, the Bible's declared he made them male and female. I don't care how much a man wants to try to be a woman, you can't bear no child. That's right. And sis, oh, this is going to hurt Laodicea spirit. But as much as you want to have rule over your husband, the Bible done said, nope, the husband will rule over you. That's what God told her from right then. Now, we understand the love of God and things, and I'll get to that, but I got to tell it like it is. And if you're already getting offended, get in and strap on. Here we go. Matthew chapter 19. Jesus is addressed with the same issue because the main issue in Christendom anyways, it's starting to fall apart in the world, is marriage. things that involve marriage. What does it mean if I got married? What does it mean if I didn't? What if I got divorced? What if I got remarried? What if I had a child, but I was never married? What if I did? And it's just a big conglomeration of sin. And Brother Branham talks about it. If you go actually read Marriage and Divorce, I suggest that everybody should. I mean, God, crying out loud, put his prophet up on a mountain and let the pillar of fire come up and down and have a bunch of school kids go out and look at it so they all knew that this was something going on. And he said, up there, God, give me what I'm telling you today. But this marriage, this confusion about marriage, the cloudiness around it, it stems all the way back to those covenants I'm talking about in Genesis. And I hope by the Lord we'll be able to tie this all together. Here in Matthew 19, Jesus is addressed with the issue. In verse 4, actually just start at 3. The Pharisees, Matthew 19, 3. Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him, and saying unto him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? And he answered and he said unto them, have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? And real quick, I'll get to this in a minute, but he didn't say male and females. Right. Male and female. All right. And he said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother and shall cleave to his one wife. And they twain, not three, not four, not five, they twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. Wherefore God, what therefore God hath joined together, let no man put asunder. And they said unto him, why did Moses then command to give a writing of divorcement and to put her away? And he saith unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, suffered you to put away your wives. But from the beginning, it was not so. So this was one of the first things in the Bible that you can point at. It says, this is God's permissive will. And God's permissive will is a place you don't want nothing to do with, brother, sister. This permissive will is what made Israel run around in a desert for 40 years and watched everybody die. This permissive will is what made a whole nation that should have had welcoming arms for the Messiah to come through, turn around and kill the very man that would have saved them. Permissive will took a prophet who could hear from God, Balaam, come on now, who prophesied of things to come, and later on you find him dead in a battle somewhere. Permissive will of God, you don't want nothing to do with it. But thank God, by all the times we take detours to it, if you're an elect of God anyways, the Holy Spirit will meet you and bring you back to that perfect will. Amen. Oh my, you say, well, what's it like, Brother Andrew? And I've said this before, I'll just say it again. It's like if I wanted to travel to Lima, I could take the perfect will and just take a nice hour drive south. But let's say I know it better than my GPS. I know it better than God. You understand what I'm saying? I'm going to go north because Professor so-and-so said that we should always go north. Well, you better have a lot of equipment ready. You better have a plane and a ship and Arctic and something. But you could eventually get back around and get to Lima. Yeah, you're right, brother. That's the permissive will. You're jumping over every hurdle. You say, man, I just can't get to victory like I used to get. Then get back in the perfect will, God, and just serve the Lord with all your heart. Amen. Well, there you go. Verse 9. All right, now listen to this. He says, Moses, it wasn't supposed to be that way. Because of the hardness of your hearts, he allowed you to divorce your wives. But in verse 9, I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery. And whosoever marrieth her, which is put away, doth commit adultery. Period. Red letters, brother, sister. I don't care how much you believe in grace and we can do whatever we want. Jesus said that. So from right now, what I've just read to you, a lot of us in this room are adulterers and adulteresses. And you might not like me saying that, but that's what the word says about it. Amen. And thank the God for a prophet. You're going to find out you're more buried than you might realize if it wasn't for the word of the hour. That's right. Because what are you going to do with that? Some of us, you divorced your wife because of whatever she did. It wasn't fornication. Because look, fornication ain't adultery either.
Right. Amen.
It sure ain't. Fornication is before you got married. You find out this woman lied and was actually with a man, didn't tell you. If you knew that, then you have a right to divorce her. That's right. And that's really what God found out with Israel. He went to come down and marry her, found out she'd done fornicated.
Right.
And he had a right to put her away.
Right.
And he did.
That's right.
Amen. God don't contradict His word, brother, sister. And this is where, and then what happens, you get a camp that says, well, then just divorce whatever you want, right? I mean, God said we could. No, that's not what He said. He said, except it be for fornication. But man, give away the wife, they go marry somebody else. That's adultery. A woman goes off that's been divorced, gets remarried. That's adultery according to the Bible. And that ain't just the one time. Go to Matthew 5. Give me some time. We'll get this all together. Matthew 5. Thank the Lord. 5:31. It hath been said, whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing divorcement. But I say unto you that whosoever shall put away his wife, saying for the cause of fornication, causeth her to commit adultery. Catch that for a minute. Causes her to commit adultery. And whosoever shall marry her that is divorced, committeth adultery. Are you seeing there's a difference here? Because look, there's one case that you don't really see all of a sudden. You can see a man divorcing his wife and sending her away, and then she runs off and gets married. That's adultery. You see the man getting away his wife, and he goes off and gets remarried. That's adultery. You see a man who's single, finds a divorced woman and marries her. That's an adultery. Why? Because at the end of the day, from the beginning, there was one male and one female. So, brother, sister, we know from the beginning, if God's perfect will, we done messed it up. Don't get me wrong. I understand that. We in a mess all over this room. I know every situation in here just about, and it's a mess. I got it. Don't worry. I'm not preaching on you. I'm preaching on here. Amen. And it wasn't for the grace of God, I'd have buried myself in some stupid situation, too. No, that's thus saith the Lord in my life. I'll tell you that right now. The only ones that know that really is my mom and dad. I'd have done married, been divorced by all kinds of girls out in the world, but God protecting me. Yes, He did. I just have to say it the way it is. I've stayed in that girl's house and not been with them multiple times. How did that happen? I don't know. The grace of God. Amen. Well, I did, brother. Well, brothers, look, it's fine. Just thank the Lord for what He's done in your life. Amen. Come on. Because look, there's a difference too, because I'm called to be a pastor. God watches over that, not for me, but for you. The prophet of God himself had a gift that, look, if he wasn't a prophet, he probably would have been a murderer. But God needed to protect that gift because we needed it now. And it couldn't be defiled. It couldn't be in all that mess out in the world because it would have ruined the reputation before it even got started. How are you going to believe a prophet that was a murderer? Come on. And they've had to do it in other ages. That's right. You had to say, well, I know Moses went out and murdered that guy in cold blood. But he's a prophet anyways. Well, this is the greatest prophet ever hit the earth. That's right. And you show me another man that can say Jesus Christ has had more success in my ministry than his own. That's right. Woo! He didn't say I had more success. Now that'd be blasphemy. But the Holy Spirit in Brother Branham did more in this age than he did when Jesus was walking on the earth. And that's the Bible. Jesus said that. He said, the works that I do shall you do also, and greater than this shall you do. Again, red letters, go fight it all you want. That's what he said, and I believe it, and that settles it. And I'm just a benefactor of it. I just wrap it up and say, praise God. Look, he can do everything he did, and things I can't even think of. Praise his name. Amen. Hallelujah. Why does it cause her to commit adultery? Because a man divorced a woman. Woman don't want to be alone. She ain't built to be alone. She never was made to be alone. Adam had a time where he didn't know her. Eve didn't have a time. She didn't know Adam. I hope you're being spiritual already. I'll get there eventually. But, hallelujah. Causes her to commit adultery. And Jesus said the same thing. And let me just quote it. It's Mark 10. He says, in the house, his disciples asked him again on the matter. We want to get it. He had already done told the Pharisees and went out and preached it. The disciples said, okay, come on. Tell us it really. Come on, tell us what you really meant. You know what he's going to say? The same thing he already said. And he saith unto them, whosoever shall put away his wife and marry another committeth adultery against her. Why? Because the two are not two. They're one. So the second you pushed her away and married something else, you committed adultery against that woman. Because that was your wife. Well, I married the wrong one. Sorry, buddy. That's what you married. I said, what? But that's who you married. Amen. Hallelujah. And if a woman shall put away her husband, and this is the only time you ever hear the Bible even talk about that, because that was definitely not common practice at this time, because they actually believed this. And this ain't just Christendom. This was the whole world around. Women were not allowed to just divorce husbands and marry someone else, because why would that man want her? She's already been touched of God. I don't want that. That's right. Look, you think all you want to and get our pride up and everything else. That's the way it was. And for a lot, that's the way it is. Uh-huh. Of course, now they won't marry them. They just go get them knocked up and have a couple kids all over the countryside, and then they marry none of them. Yep. You're still husband to all of them.
That's right.
And you're still father to all of them. Yep. And one for the grace of God, we'd all, you hear me now. Come on. We're all involved in this somewhere. Hallelujah. Now go to Romans 7 with me, pulling this all right out of the scripture. So we went in Genesis, found it. He said Moses gave you a writing of divorcement, but Jesus done clarified it, that it wasn't supposed to be that way. God, and this is something I got to say real quick. I've heard a message minister say that divorce is not sin. Now hear me. I understand what the man was trying to say, but my goodness, that divorce is not the will of God. And if you feel like it is, that's because you done goofed it up before you let God make you make the right choice. And any real Christian says, you know what? Amen.
Right.
Thank the Lord, because there's grace. And I'm going to get to that here in a minute before you get too buried under the weight of the word. Because this is what I want to get at, is that's plain letters, brother, sister. You're an adulterer. You're an adulteress. And where do you find a road of escape from it?
None.
That's what it was. Well, do I divorce her then? Well, how does that make sense? Now you divorced the two women. You made a more mess than what you had before.
Right.
Not only that, now who's going to raise them kids?
Right.
Come on.
Sure.
Romans 7. Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth. For the woman which hath a husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loose from the law of her husband. So then if, while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she be free from the law, so that she is not adulterous, though she be married to another man. My main point of reading that is to show you, it was in Genesis, Jesus said it right there at the beginning of the New Testament. Here's Paul, after the Holy Ghost done given, saying the same thing. God never changed his mind about this.
Right.
It's adultery, it's adultery, it's adultery. Jesus even took it to the point and said, man, you even look at a woman in lust, you've committed adultery. And that just put us all under the right under the weight of the word. That's right. Anybody that's honest, that's right. And that this one I'd forgotten, but I want to just go there. It's 1 Corinthians 7, I believe. It's all right, we get all this word. It's kind of more of a Bible study today. But this is one that you got to know is coming from the Word.
Amen.
The presumptuous approach people have taken to marriage and divorce has destroyed churches.
Yes.
It's destroyed lives. It's destroyed families. It's destroyed ministries. And we know some of that around this area down in Lima. They got real, not Brother Craig or anything like that, but you know, they got a little loose about this. And it caused riffles in the world about marriage and divorce. You might not like that, but it's true. I've heard it go all the way across the nation. Well, you know, this brother over here said we could do this. Oh, whoa, where'd you get that? Because marriage, and this is why. If you look at the whole Bible as a whole, what is it? And I'm just going to take a little, we'll come back to 1 Corinthians 7. The whole Bible as a whole, it's God's love story to His bride. The whole from Genesis to Revelations is God wanting to marry His bride the same as He brought Adam to His wife all the way back in the garden. It was just a foreshadow of what God wanted to do. So for us with dirty, sinful, lustful hands to take that and to mar that image and to call these other things love.
Uh-huh.
And it's just black, filthy lust, greed, shame. Oh, we just blanket it all over. God don't tolerate that. Because that was His whole point of making man in the first place. And brother, sister, if you're looking for satisfaction outside of falling in love with Jesus Christ and Him showing His love to you, you've totally, utterly, shamefully missed the mark.
Amen.
God didn't bring us this word for us to pump our minds up and say, man, I got it more figured out than the Baptist. Praise the Lord. It was to show us who we are.
Amen.
to show us who He is, and to show that before I even had a choice, He already chose me. He already married me. He already put the ring on my finger and said, "You're my wife, and not another." Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. 1 Corinthians 7. Now concerning the things whereof you wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. And we could preach on marriage all day long, brother, sister. Right there, how about that scripture? Well, my wife don't do this. My wife don't do this. My husband don't do this. My husband do that. I do this. That ain't the way it works. It never said, let the husbands if, let the wives if. No, do it. Amen. Well, they're meaning their snake. Well, then how are you going to fight that? What are you going to do about it? Fight fire with fire? Yeah, you're just going to get a house burnt down. That's right. And look, you can't take part of the word, not the other part. I'm going to show you a real good example of that. If you take water, it's the number one, if we're going to get a fire out, you get water. And you cover it all over. But if you break that water up and make it oxygen and hydrogen, you better not throw that on no fire.
That's right.
It's just going to make it worse. And that's what happens when we go and we take a little bit of ourselves and a little bit of the Word. What does it do? It breaks the bond between us and the Word. Now you got hydrogen and oxygen right here, and you try to throw it on what's supposed to get rid of the fire, and then poof! Now everybody's mad. We're sitting here quoting the Word. Hope that hit home, because amen, Lord. That's right. It's all the Word, none of us. Don't you bring, you know, you got a little, look, even if you can't say that you're wrong, maybe in black and letters, but you know in your heart there's something convicting you, just stop. Just stop right there and say, Lord, have mercy. Don't let me make another mistake. Amen. All right. The wife hath not power of her own body, but the husband. And likewise also the husband hath not power of his body, but the wife. Defraud ye not one another, the other, except it be with consent for a time, that ye may give yourselves to fasting and prayer, and come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your incontinence. I can almost never say that word, but amen. Look at it. But I speak this by permission and not by not of commandment. Now we're getting into where I'm trying to go today. That if you don't believe this message of the hour, you're done. You commit adultery. If you went and divorced and got remarried, you're an adulterer. Right. It didn't say you're committing adultery. You are now identified as an adulterer. Sure. And what did the Bible say later on? We know that no adulterer will enter the kingdom of heaven.
Right.
What are you going to do? There's nowhere to go. Right. And Paul was addressing the same issue here that we're going to get with. His issue in his time was, I've got these believers that married unbelievers. Right. What are they supposed to do? You know, I'm sure there were some zealous brothers that came and said, brother, separate from all unbelief. Cast her out with the bondwoman. You know,
sure.
Get her out of there. Some of y'all believe that still. I hope not. Christ loved us a little bit more when we were His enemy. And then you got the other side that says, oh, don't even worry about it, man. Just keep being a sinner. It's cool. You're saved.
Right.
Don't testify or not to her. Don't worry about it, man. You just let her be her and you be you. Sounds a lot like Laodicea.
Yeah.
That's right. But the Word has a change in effect, brother, sister. It takes a human heart. And I don't care how messed up it was. It will form it back into the image of Jesus Christ. Glory to God. But I speak this by permission and not of commandment. Now look, Moses had done, according to Jesus' own words, Moses did the same thing in his day.
That's right.
Because it was not God's will for that writing of divorcement. That was not His perfect will, but God permitted it to Moses because of the hardness of their hearts. To try to avoid some fornication because He knew what Israel's all about. You're telling me God figured out Israel? He knew they were going to commit a fornication, adultery, and all this stuff. So He said, in that permissive will, all right, let's get a writing divorcement. Maybe we'll keep this half sane.
Right.
You got all quiet, but that's all right. It's the Word. And then here's Paul again with another issue around marriage and divorce. And he's saying, I speak this by permission because I'm the prophet of this age, and God's allowed me to say this. Glory to God. For I would that all men were even as myself. But because Paul was single, we understand. I believe he was a widower, but either way. But every man hath his proper gift of God, one after this manner,
and another after that. See, you're important to the kingdom, brother, sister. We all got our gifts. Say, I ain't a preacher. You got a gift. Use it.
That's right.
Say, well, I know how to do it. Well, do that.
Amen.
Whatever, fill in the blank. You know it's the word. Do it. Testify. Love the Lord. Be nice to a neighbor.
Right. Come on.
That'll testify in this day. That's right. Hallelujah. Every man has the proper gift of God. Now, start at verse 8. I say, therefore, to the unmarried and widows, it is good for them if they abide even as I. But if they cannot contain, let them marry, for it is better to marry than to burn. And unto the married I command, yet not I, but the Lord. Let not the wife depart from her husband. So that was not, right what I just read there, was from the Lord. You say, well, my husband does this, my husband does this. You stay faithful. That's right. You know what, Brother Bram? We talked about that story here not too long ago. Drunken husband come home and he said, you know, they were out in the bars like they always were. And they got talking, a bunch of sinners out there, you know, getting drunk, and said, there ain't no more Christians. Said, there ain't no such thing Christian no more. And the one man there, he said, no, there is. They're still Christian. He said, no, we don't believe it. He said, my wife's a Christian. Sitting there pounding away, but he had enough revelation of God to know when he saw one.
Amen.
And he said, watch, I'll show you. And they went home. And he said they weren't even quite drunk yet, but they started acting like they're just slobbering all over and everything else, banging tables, all this. Got in there and said, hey, sweetheart, hey, how's it going? And she come out there right in the middle of the night and said, how you doing, honey? You know, everything okay? Make us some steak and eggs. Ooh. See how quiet it is? Well, I told that man. No, there you go. You got the wrong spirit, brother, sister. Well, sister, in that case, and brother, don't get drunk. All right? Amen. Now, he wasn't right either. Don't get me wrong. Make me some steak and eggs. So she gets over there. She fixes them all up. You know, Brother Bram dramatized story. Lays it out before these bunch of drunk men. And he slaps it over there and says, that ain't the way I like it. Bangs it on the ground and says, come on, boys, let's get out of here. And they stumble outside and just start listening. She's, you know, may I bear the cross alone and all the world go free. There's a cross for everyone and there's a cross for me. And just started sweeping the mess up and it said, broke those men's hearts. Just, see, sister, you want them to get saved? Well, do that.
Right.
Be a Christian. Be a real one. When the Bible told me to reverence my husband, I will.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Yeah. He tells me not to go to church. Well, that ain't reverencing him no more. You do what the Lord said.
Right.
That's right. But she cleaned it up, got it on, and Brother Bram said she led them three men to Christ that night. That's right. And that spirit of this age, and look, it ain't just women either. It's man too. We believe if somebody does us wrong, we got a right. Got a right to take them out. We got a right to talk bad about them. We got a right to tell everybody, they're the devil. That man is serpent seed.
Sure.
Just blast the countryside with it, not recognizing that we're totally, utterly of the wrong spirit. They had done that to Jesus one time. And I'm trying to get to something else, but hey, we got to hear what we got to hear. Came to Jesus one time, and Jesus preached a mighty good sermon. You know, and the disciples said, man, anybody should believe this. This is a good word, you know. We really like brother so-and-so. You know, he's a great preacher. You know, I just love him. Then they came, praise the Lord, buddy. And then they came and said, oh, we don't want nothing to do with this. And they turned him down and rejected him, tried to get him out. And John said, hey, master, it's all right if we got the word for this. If you go back, you remember when Elijah caught fire? Can we do that? Because that would be really cool. And that's how a lot of people treat the gifts of God.
Sure.
Man, it'd be really neat, wouldn't it? Just to watch fire. Well, I'm sure it'd be cool until you recognize all them people burning up and dying.
Right.
And then you'd realize, I don't know if I enjoy this all that well.
Right.
I'll just show you what religious mind do. And what did Jesus said? He said, you don't even know what spirit you're of. I didn't come to destroy them. I came to save them.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And look, he was there to save John too. That was the disciple of love. We tend to forget what he used to be.
Right.
Him and giant and James, I believe, came to Jesus one night and said, hey, you know, we're more spiritual than everybody else, right, Jesus?
Come on.
We can sit on your right hand and left, right? Don't tell the disciples. Don't get them mad at us. And he said, it's not mine to give in the first place, boys. He said, but it'll be given to who it is. And they try to get mad. He said, no, just look, humble yourself. If you think you're great, get down. That's right. I say the same thing today. If you feel like you're better than anyone, you're still too high in Christianity. You need to come on down. That's right. Because your example was the Lord of heaven. And He came down to the lowest of lows, was born lower than any of us, was raised any lower than us, suffered lower than any of us. And when He got to the end of the road, He went and washed His own creation's dirty feet.
That's true.
And we think we got pride to be able to do this. No, just keep humbling yourself all the way down. Amen. Well, that was all free. Praise the Lord. But this covenant here that we're talking about, if you look, every time it talks about if you marry a woman that's been divorced or you put away your wife. But what happens if the woman leaves the husband? What does it tell about the man? It doesn't give a commandment in that situation. Come on now. I'm gonna bring this out here in a minute. It doesn't say that the man can't remarry. You won't find that nowhere. Now, if he goes and marries a divorced woman, he's married another man's wife. But there's nothing to say that that man can't remarry. And that's where you get this gray area that everybody wants to run off and say, well, see, I can go get remarried because of this, isn't it? No, brother, sister, slow down. First off, you're just going to make a bigger mess in the long run. That's right. And I didn't get to where I needed to get to. Let me just keep reading there. That's why I don't want to go too fast. Verse 10. And unto the married I command, yet not I, but the Lord. Let not the wife depart from her husband. But and if she depart, now look at this, let her remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband, and let not the husband put away his wife. That's the commandment of the Lord. And Jesus only said the only reason you could ever put away a woman, a man could put her away, is if she fornicated and didn't tell you. Because if she told you, she's clear. You accepted it. And here's the thing. He don't have to divorce her now. He can forgive her. That's right. Praise the Lord. That's where we find ourselves in grace. You know, I'm taking a long time getting there, but we'll get there. We find ourselves in grace on that side. But the woman, look, it never says for that woman to depart and get married again. Ever. Because that woman is already that man's husband, case closed. Unless he dies, which we read earlier. Then she can remarry him, because that's the difference between us. Our marriage is here, and then the one on the other side, Christ never started, never ended, never going to die. So if you were married to him, you always were. So there ain't no getting out of that covenant. You're always married to him. Glory to God. But and if she depart, let her remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband, and let not the husband put away his wife. But what if the woman chooses to leave the husband? The man is freed from the vow. And as we talked about earlier, that's what happened to Israel. They got caught in adultery and all these things. And they, look, even the Lord still tried to reach out to them.
Yes, He did.
But they refused Him. They refused His grace. Just like Vashti. If you go back in the book of Esther, she was called to the wedding feast to be shown and showcased. And she said, I already got my lovers. I already got my girlfriends. Woo-hoo-hoo. Pulling her away from her husband. We just need a girls' night. No, you need an altar night. Amen. We all do, brother, sister. We need to get more family altars. That's the reason that we're even talking about divorce, is because there was no family altar.
Amen.
If there was a family altar, you can't break that. That's right. It's jailed by the Holy Ghost, and no devil of adultery can even get in.
Amen.
Hallelujah. But that man's free because it's the same type of Christ. But brother, sister, I'm going to talk about that here in a minute. I want to close on what I was saying a minute ago. We're buried under the word if we've been divorced, remarried. We're divorced with someone else, doing all, and look, it's all over the world. But God gave permission to a prophet in this day.
That's right.
To liberate those people.
Yes,
He did. Now, here's the thing that I'm trying to emphasize more than anything, is if you just take exactly what the Word says, where can you get out? Where can you say, I'm not an adulterer anymore? Where can you say, I'm not an adulteress anymore? Do I get divorced again? Will that save? How does two sins help one? Come on. There's nowhere to go. Because from the beginning, it should have never got to this point. From the beginning, there was none of this going on. There was none of this getting married, remarried, and we'll get to polygamy here in a minute, and all this nonsense that's going on. But God came to His prophet. And God's prophet, just like Moses, lifted up his case to God and said, what do you want me to do? And God gave permission. Give him a writing of divorcement. Here come Paul saying the same thing. I got, you could keep reading there. I'm going to save some time. I got unbelieving people married to believers. And what do I tell them to do? Let them go on as they are and just testify and serve the Lord. As long as they don't keep them from serving God, let them just go on. That's right. Be a witness to them. Sanctify your children. Read the rest of that, chapter 7. What does that mean, sanctify your children? Is if you go ahead and just run off and break your house up, I'm going to tell you, especially in this age, they're going to get under the influence of the devil then. Yeah. Because your influence is going to be cut off.
Right.
I've watched it happen more than once, brother, sister. It cuts it off, but if somehow you could just keep it together and say, Lord, just have your way. I want to serve you. I care about her. You better love your wife or you ain't going to be able to do this anyways. Right. I love my children. I want them to serve the Lord. But and then some of us find us on the other side. What are we going to do now? I done wrecked that up.
Right.
I don't know where everybody's at, but I know we're all in between this thing somewhere. But God came to his prophet. And Brother Branham took this same situation and lifted up to God and says, what do I tell these people? I know what the Word says. And you can find things that he talks about polygamy and things throughout all the message all the way up to. So this the revelation of what I'm about to show in a little bit, he already knew that. What he didn't know is, what do I tell these people? These people are honest. These people know what they did wrong. They know they shouldn't have, but they want to serve God. How are they going to do it when the Word says they can't?
Right.
The letter killeth, brother, sister, but the Spirit's what gives life.
Amen.
And if we would take the Word as literal as it's written, none of us going to make it.
Right.
None of us have a chance. But the grace of God has taken the Word and anointed it to where we can find that behind the Word, behind the written law, is a God.
Amen.
Who can make decisions. Who can proclaim a curse, but then said, I'll take it on myself.
Amen.
I'll take it instead of you doing it. That's grace, brother, sister. He don't have to do that. And if he didn't write the law, he couldn't do it. But he did.
Amen.
Our judge is our attorney.
Amen.
And is now our husband.
Amen.
Oh, glory. God came to his prophet and said this. And he quoting, he said, it's marriage and divorce if you don't know the sermon. It wasn't so from the beginning. But Moses was permitted it. And God recognized it righteousness. And Paul also had a right when he found his church in that condition. Now you believe this to be true and believe it come from God. And by the vindication of his cloud and his message that's brought me this far, should not God upon the mountain permit me to do the same thing? Do you understand what this man had to do to put himself to be able to say what he's about to say? He knows ain't nobody going to believe him.
Right.
He knows this. But look, when God speaks to a man and gives him the word, it's just like Jeremiah said. He said, I didn't want to say it no more. I got tired of everybody turning me down all the time. He said, but it was just fire in my bones. I couldn't do it, so I had to let it out.
Amen.
Amen. There's a reproach comes with it, but stay with it. Now listen, hear me today. It's brought me this far, and should not God upon the mountain permit me to do the same thing, to suffer you to go on the way you are and do it no more. Go with your wives and live in peace, for the hour is late. The coming of the Lord is at hand. We haven't got time to break these things up. Don't you dare do it again.
Amen.
I'm speaking only to my congregation. But if you're married, and God bore me witness of that on the mountain, that I could say this, a supernatural revelation, because of the opening of the seven seals, and this is a question in God's Word. This is in quotations from God now. Let them go on in as they are and sin no more.
Right.
What a relief, brother, sister.
Amen.
What a relief. But look, outside of the word of this hour, there's nowhere to go.
Right.
And you're going to ensure you'll have some preacher tell you, oh, it's okay. God winked at your ignorance. No, he didn't. And look, that goes for, I don't care if you were married as a sinner. That was God's covenant you took.
Right.
And we understand that without anymore, when you leave God, that covenant is dissipating. Do we see that in our nation? It doesn't even mean anything in our nation anymore. Why even get married unless you want to get a tax break? If it wasn't for making some money from taxes, there wouldn't be any marriage anymore. You just live with them as long as our love shall last.
Yeah.
And the second day, do something you don't like, get ugly, get fat, I don't know. You see you, get somebody else. Some little pretty girl come in. You say, how do you know that? Watch celebrities.
Yeah.
That's what they do. Just burn through them. Get another one. There was somebody. I was actually at the shop getting my truck or my car fixed. One of the two in my van. And there's a magazine there. And I just started flipping. There's this. I can't even remember. He's one of them actors. I should know his name, I guess. But it showed the age of his wife. And here's him getting older. and his wife or his girlfriends or whatever, they're all right here. He's getting older, but they're still 20 all the time. Why? Because it's just another car. You know, use it up a few years, we're done. Let's get a new one. Look, that's what's happened since the fall, and it deals with that double covenant I'm going to talk about here in a minute. But from the beginning, it wasn't that way. Sis, that ain't the way you are. You're not a car. You're the most beloved thing God could have ever gave a man. When God looked down and saw that man alone, he said he needs something to make him happy. Amen. I know what it is. I'll take it and make it out of himself. It's a wife. It's the greatest gift God could have ever gave a man. But look how much power the fall had. Now she's the most corrupt thing that's ever hit the planet. One woman with a demon possession sends more people to hell than every bootlegging joint, every pot smoking place, all that, all the entertainment of the world. If it don't involve naked women, where's it at anymore? Thinking they're doing what's right, living in pleasure, dead while they live. And sending souls to hell. What kind of judgment lays ahead for that? Sure. All right. Now, can I talk on this dual covenant for a little bit? Can you permit me a little bit more time this afternoon? Thank you, Brother Roy. I appreciate that. Helps a minister out. It sure does. Coming out of marriage and divorce, listen to this. Two covenants. Now, that closes the beginning of what Jesus said. It wasn't so at the beginning. We got another covenant now. Notice it's another covenant. Now, there is a covenant for the product, which was Adam, we understand, and the byproduct, Eve. Notice the fall brought trouble, death, to every creature of the creation, making a difference in all nature. So even now, when they try to look at nature and say, well, why do they do this? Why do they do that? Look, everything fell. It wasn't that way from the beginning. There wasn't all this death and destruction and all these things that they watch, and even in nature going on. And there's a lot more order than that than mankind. But even that, you know, it's got death and things involved. But that wasn't the way it was in the beginning. Now, notice what Jesus said about from the beginning. It wasn't so. It is now. It is after the beginning. Now there is a double covenant. First was just a covenant. Adam and Eve was co-equal.
That's right.
One man and one woman. Now the woman sinned, and what does she do? That throw them all into death. And God had to make a covenant by that, another covenant. Here it is, right here in Genesis 3:16. He made another covenant. Now the world is to be repopulated, not by the original creation of God, like in the beginning. Not by the original creation, but by sex desire. Now that takes care of the beginning, doesn't it? In the beginning, there was only one man and one woman, one male and one female. But when she crossed that line and brought this sin, now the world is to be populated by sex, not by creation, by sex. Where the woman is at now, see, now, but that's the way the world is populated through women. That's the reason Jesus had to come through the woman, to bring it back again to the original beginning again, without sex desire. He is virgin born, but hallelujah, there will come a time where it won't be no more sex. But God will call his children from the dust of the earth back like they was in the original. Not through any woman, but through the molding of the clay and of the cosmic lights of the petroleum. He'll create again like he did Adam in the first time.
Amen.
That's what stumbled Nicodemus when he said be born again. He's saying, I got to go in the womb again. He said, no, be born the way he was the first time, which was creation.
Amen.
That's how Jesus came. He was spoke by God, and there he was. Amen. And it's going to go back. Jesus made this possible by God making himself a man and coming to the world so he could die through this woman. Now is testing time by sin. Now you see then, after the beginning, it was something else was introduced. Now this is going to shock you. Are you tired? That was from the quote. All right, praise it. See, my quote here says congregation said no. So I was making sure we fulfilled that there. It's going to shock you. Just sit still a little while longer. Then when the double covenant was made by man and woman through sex, another covenant altogether, not the original, but another covenant. Now what's introduced? Polygamy. Polygamy in all. Then after the beginning, polygamy was introduced both in man and in beast after the beginning, the fall. Now God secondarily sets a new nature again by sex. God created the first without sex. Do you believe that? Now it's another creation with nature. He sets it in another order by sex. Second covenant. One male,
many females. One buck, deer, a whole harm of does. Is that right? One bull and a whole herd of cattle, cows, one rooster and a yard full of hens. Is that right? One David after his own heart with 500 wives, with 100 children born to him in 1 year of different women. A man after God's own heart. Some people need to read their Bible and recognize that we didn't have a clue what we believed before this message came. How are you going to answer an unbeliever on that? How are you going to answer that? You said the Bible declared David was a man after God's own heart. And here he is, as lustful as any man I ever met in my life. She's a pretty grown, marries her, has a kid. 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 Even to where that's what got him in trouble, we understand, because he towed the line too far and found somebody else's wife. How come he didn't get in trouble for the other 1,000 or 500 he had? Because those were his. This, oh man, if you ain't ready for strong meat, you might as well just, there you go. But it's coming today. That's right. But God, look, there was no answer until the message came to show us why was polygamy introduced. You ever had anybody ask you on that? They'll go through the Old Testament and say, well, how come you say it's wrong now? Why wasn't it then? Right. Sure. If it wasn't for the message, I wouldn't have an answer. I'll tell you that right now. I said, I don't know. Whatever. I mean, I still believe it because it's God's word. I don't know. But God's given us an answer in this day. Let me finish that quote. He says, one David after his own heart with 500 wives and 100 children born him in 1 year of different women. A man after God's own heart. One Solomon with 1,000 wives. But notice now, it wasn't so from the beginning. But now it's after the beginning.
Right.
And before you think I'm preaching polygamy, or that Brother Branham preached it's okay to be polygamist, let me read you his own words and realize that he didn't believe that. He's not saying that polygamy is okay in this day now. Supernatural 1956. Speaking to someone the other day about polygamy, I said the nation in a whole would be better off if it practiced polygamy. It would. We're the highest ranked nation in the world with divorces. Marrying and intermarrying, marrying and intermarrying. Because we tried to make the men of the world outside coincide with Christian doctrine. And you can't put the nature of a lamb in a pig. Polygamy would be better off for them. You may not believe it, but God would look at polygamy and excuse it a lot quicker than what he would. Now remember, don't you say that I believe in polygamy. I don't. So that's really my answer in the message. I mean, you should be done right there. No, we shouldn't be doing polygamy because the prophet said no. Amen. And anybody, anytime they've done any sort of research, because the Mormons still preach that and stuff, it destroys women. I mean, they don't have no morale. They don't know what love even really is. That shows you it wasn't God's intention from the beginning for it to be that way.
Amen.
Amen. You weren't supposed to feel just like another checklist on the 1,000 people that's over there. That's right. That isn't right at all. But what have we done in America? What Brother Branham's saying, I'll read you one more quote and then we'll get rolling here. The 70th week of Daniel 1961, the divorce courts in America produced more divorces by our women than all the rest of the nations. The morals in our country is lower in divorces than it is in France or Italy, where prostitution is on the street. So, but they are prostitutes. Ours is married women trying to live with several men and several men trying to live with other women. In a nation where they have polygamy, it's 1,000 times better, and yet polygamy is wrong, we know, but just shows how degraded we are. So what's Brother Branham's point about saying polygamy is better is that if you're going to be a sinful nation, you should practice polygamy because you'll be in a lot less trouble. I know that chokes up a lot of people. But if you go look back in the histories, they did. It wasn't just Israel practiced polygamy. Because Abraham, remember, he was going down to travel and Abimelech came and says, look at that pretty woman. Look at pretty grandma over there. 90 years old. I'm going to get me a new wife. Look, she had a body change. All right? Come on. But anyways, so I'm going to get me a nice pretty one down there. I'm sure he already had a whole bunch of them. But what did he find out? Whoa. Even though I've already got, who knows, hundreds of wives, that one's already married to someone else. I can't marry her and actually destroyed the whole nation until he gave the wife of Abraham back.
Right.
Now, if you look, what are we getting at now? Is why was polygamy introduced? We see that in the double covenant. But God don't just do things, even in his permissive will. Why did all that with the law happen? It was foreshadowing what grace would be.
So look, we've got to have an answer. Why did God even allow polygamy? What was its purpose, brother, sister? And there's an answer laying in the Word. It was there the whole time, but it took a prophet to go and grab that Word and said, here's why God allowed it. It's not the will from the church now, because now that the Holy Ghost has been given, we've got one destination, and that's going back.
Amen.
I'm not here to live in this fallen condition. We're leaving this place, and I'm going back to eternity.
Amen.
Where we have a husband and a wife. There ain't, you know, you're not going to have a whole harem of wives. You think, come on now, brother, sister. It wasn't supposed to be that way.
Sure.
What kind of chaos would that be in heaven? Come on now. But God made it a certain way to be like that. If we go, let me find it now. Go to Ephesians 5 with me. I'll be wrapping up here soon, the good Lord willing. Making good time. Hope this helps you. I hope it clarifies some things. Ephesians 5, 22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. That he might present it, did you see that? Singular, it, to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So it meant to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife, singular again, he that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hateth his own flesh, but nourisheth it and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we... Do you see how we just went from it to we? Singular. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, of his bones. For this cause shall... We go all the way back to Genesis now. All the way back to what Adam said in the beginning. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and be joined unto his wife. And they two, not three, not four, not five, they two shall be one flesh. Why was Paul saying this? This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Now we begin to see what's going on here. Is there is only one bride of Christ. There is only one true church of God. Oh, sure, we got churches, brides. But at the end of the day, you're either in that body or you ain't nothing to do with it. You can claim it all you want on your tongue. You can say, I believe it in your head. But if you ain't got representation of you inside of you, that you're literally a part of him, you'll never be there.
Right. Amen.
You won't be without spot or wrinkle. You'll be covered in spots and wrinkles. But there's not two churches, there's not three, there's not a million. Yet we're all planning on making it.
Amen. Right?
Are you the bride of Christ? Amen. You should be able to say, amen.
Amen.
Well, then here I am saying, amen.
Right?
How can we both be? I thought there was only one.
Yep. Amen.
Glory to God. Brother Branham says this in Marriage and Divorce, and that's actually what I'm quoting from the rest of this time. He says, now notice, don't fail this now. Take it all down in your hearts. But not one of those women could have even one more husband. He is the original creation, not her. Not one of those women could have one more husband, but that husband could have 1,000 wives. That's thus said the Lord. That's the Bible. Now I've went back, took my time, and showed you back yonder where it started, and Jesus said, now do you see it clearly? They can marry as many as, you know, let me skip down now. So now you see what I'm getting at. You couldn't marry more than one. Woman could only marry one, and man could have a whole bunch. A little bit later, it says, that's why he said to Adam, before sex was ever introduced, multiply to replenish the earth, when he was yet in the beginning, when he, the one man, was yet both male and female in himself. There shows then that the bride has got to come from the Word by spiritual multiplication. Multiplication, see, replenishing the earth. Now in the sex act, see, the school's got the two things mixed up. Therefore, you can't do it. You've got to bring it back to the truth of it in the beginning. And at the end, there will be one Lord Jesus and his bride, many, singular. Hallelujah. I think how beautiful this is to really, just to be able to see that God was always speaking all the way through. At the end, there'll be one Lord Jesus and His bride, many singular. You get it? There was one David on the throne, one king after God's own heart with 500 wives. Jesus sitting on His throne, hallelujah, in the millennium with a wife, like it was in the beginning, created out of the earth by the hand of Almighty God in the resurrection of many members. There you are. Women struggle to be that. Come to Christ that you'll not be in the filthy mess out there. But as long as you're just a church member trying to live moral and good yourself, you'll never make it. Neither can a man make it outside of Christ. As Paul went on to say, but there in Christ there is neither male nor female. They're all one. But to get this marriage and divorce straightened out, so that you would know which is right and which was wrong. Now he plainly shows here in these types, there is one Christ and many members of that wife.
Amen.
Notice, he can put us away for spiritual fornications and false doctrines anytime he wants to. But how dare you to try to put him away and make it. The man can put away his wife, marry another, but not the woman put away her husband and marry another one. See all the shadows and types there, perfectly balanced up. See the original creation, not the byproduct nowhere. Not the church, the bride through the word. Amen. Not the woman, the man each time. That's why it never says anything against the man doing it. It's always the woman. That's exactly. Now do you see why? Why was it introduced? It's polygamy was the shadow of the bride of Christ. It was the shadow for you to see what it was like that we could, how could we all be married to him? How could we all claim him as husband if there was no such thing as polygamy for us to even base it on? What would we even tie to? We say, well, then we're just all, no, you're not, then we should all be able to marry as many husbands and wives and back and forth as we want to. Why have just one husband? Have three and four wives and just do whatever you want. That ain't the way it worked. There was one husband. There was one man. And those women couldn't go nowhere else. They all, every one of Abraham's wives were named the wife of Abraham. And nobody else could touch her. I hope you're being spiritual now because that's where we're heading. This covenant, this dual covenant, under the fall, look, where were we at? We're just another one of the bunch. We're just another one out in the world. We're married to some other man. Go read the Bible. We're in the world serving the devil, married to him. That's right. But then that old man died. And then we became free. Why? To go back to our real husband who married us from the foundation of the world. Before there was many wives, there was one. There was one. There was one Eve inside of Adam. Hallelujah. There wasn't three. There was one. And inside of Christ, glory to God, he had one wife that would stay with him, that would sit on the throne. He told John and James, it's not in my power to give it to you, but it's set for those who it's prepared for. And here we are.
Amen.
Here we are, brother, sister. We're going to a place. Oh, I hope you see it now. By the original covenant that I'm on the throne.
Amen.
That I'm married to the King. And look, he can be in all places, all times, all things. We can all be a wife to him. Amen. Just as readily as if it was just you two. Right. Even though there's a billion million of us. Do you see it now?
Amen.
What a husband we have. Amen. What a glorious kingdom we're going to, man, brother, sister. Just to see that beautiful picture. Can you see it now? Like Brother Branham said it this way. You know, because I don't even bring this out. You know, he had a wife before and she died. And then he married another one. And he was talking about the kingdom. And this may be a time where he would have two. You understand. I'm not trying to make it all confusing. But he said, how could he's like, I don't think I'd be jealous, Brother Branham. But Hope loved you.
Right.
He said, how? He said, now look at it this way. Because we think, well, how am I going to not be jealous of you loving on Jesus and me? You know? But you got to think of it this way. He said, you know, you think of that woman loving up on me and all these things. He said, would you like some other woman coming and doing it to me? He said, I don't think I'd like that at all, Bill. He said, what if you saw that same woman go up to Jesus and say, Jesus, I love you. I love you. He said, there's a different kind of love.
Amen.
See, we're going to a place, brother, sister, where it's agape love.
Amen.
See, down here under this covenant, it's jealousy on every side.
Right.
Why do you think the women get mad and polygamy? It was just terrible because it's just jealousy on every side.
Sure.
That you go all the way back to good old Jacob. And Lay is just jealous every day.
Yep.
That's right. My husband loves you more than me, and God honored or had mercy on her and gave her more children than Rachel. That's right. But see, that wasn't the way it was supposed to be. The only way to do that is to go back to the beginning, to where you see a husband and wife lock arms, walking through the garden. God, come down in the cool of the day. Can you just see that that's our land? That's our home. What's happened is the dual covenant. Look, Christ has come. And we're not married to the world anymore. He doesn't have all of us as His wives. And we're dead in Christ. And we've come out of that. Where? Back to the original. To where when God, oh hallelujah, when Christ was there as the eternal Logos, I was. When Adam was made male and female, the female, you couldn't see her, but she was there. And they were perfectly in one, perfectly in unity. There was nothing could separate them. It wasn't until after she got away from Adam, and here come the devil, and it caused a hierarchy between man and woman. Oh, yes, it did. Don't beat around about it. The sinner's exactly right when they say that you're saying that there's a structure that man's over woman. That's what the Bible says. Yeah, don't dodge it. That's right. But from the beginning, not a doormat now. Make sure you understand, man's to rule his wife in love. That's right. But from the beginning, that's right, like this. Whatever Adam said, Eve would have said the same thing. Because she wasn't Eve, she was Adam.
Right.
And you're not Brother Rodney, you're not Sister Shirley. We've come to a new covenant. We've come back to the original covenant, to where we've all got one name. What the whole heavens and earth is named, Jesus Christ. So when people look, this is why, if you can understand this, then you can see the pull in your heart by the Holy Ghost. When somebody cries out for the Lord, all of a sudden something comes on you and says, pray for them. Why? Because you and the Word is the same.
Amen.
Hallelujah. They can say, Jesus, you said what?
Amen.
Carnal mind said, that's sacrilegious. Said, you don't understand. It ain't me. It ain't me. But it is. There's something on me that came from Him.
Amen.
Or else, how you work in the supernatural? Do you think there's men, really, that got supernatural power in their flesh? That's how some people look at it. Look at that minister. Oh, he's got the power of God. That's what they try to do with Brother Branham. But that ain't what it is. It's the same supernatural God that filled His Son and said, this is my beloved Son, whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye Him.
Amen.
And a man stood and spoke the Word of God everywhere he went. The same as returned again.
Amen.
You won't find that in that dual covenant. No, it's Christ way up here and us way gone. But now the original covenant's come. And He's brought us back where we were before the fall.
Amen.
Free from condemnation. Free. I wasn't married in the first place.
Right. Amen.
Why? Because I'm dead, brother, sister. That man don't even live no more. I pray he ain't alive or you're in big trouble. I'm going to tell you right now, if your old man's still alive, you need a baptism of the Holy Ghost to crucify that old man.
Amen.
That's right. Paul said, I die daily. Keep him dead.
Amen.
You can resurrect him if you want, but I done reaped enough from that guy. I know I want him in the tomb.
Amen.
I want the stone still sealed on the wall. Hallelujah. Do you see yourself in the Word?
Amen.
God created one Adam. Sure He did. Sure there was one man. But God's eyes of predestination saw that He locked a mystery in. And inside that man was His wife. And when God spoke His Son and said, I'm coming to earth now. I'm going to do what I was going to do in Adam. I'm coming now. And He spoke His Word through the angel Gabriel and put His own body inside of Mary. And said, why did He come through the woman? Because He had to redeem us out of the woman. Because if a woman brings forth a man, guess what? They die.
Yes.
But if Christ, the man, brings forth life, it lives.
Amen.
Amen. And He came and He brought Himself. And that whole time they thought there was just a man standing there going around with his crazy doctrine. But the whole time there was a bride in Him.
Right.
Oh, the whole time the fullness of the Godhead was in Him. And that's your representation, brother, sister. If you can't identify with being Him there, how are you going to be with Him there? How can you just go somewhere where you weren't before? You have to go back. He said, you know, David said it this way. He said, I lost my son. He said, but I'm going to go back where he is.
Yes.
Amen. I'm going where the representation come. He can't come here no more, but I'm going back where he is.
Amen.
And Christ had us in Him. Brother Bram said, when He died on the cross, we died with Him.
Amen.
When He was paying for our sins, we paid Him with Him. That's right, brother, sister. That's how one the bride is with Christ. How can you go too far? You can't.
That's right.
No way.
Amen.
You really can't. The bride and Christ are one.
Amen.
And in this age, we understand that she submits herself to Christ. You have to be the Word, brother, sister. If you can't submit to the Word, I'm telling you, you're not the bride.
Right.
You're married to some other man still.
Right.
But if the Word is what you are, glory to God. And it's your life, and I don't care what anybody else says. This is what it is. That's a good sign.
Amen.
That's a good sign you've been born from heaven.
Amen.
It's not a time to dill daddle around and not know where we stand, brother, sister. God did this to take away all the confusion, all the doubt, all the deceptibleness of the devil that's come in this age. Because if it wasn't for, look, let's go the other way real quick, and I'm going to close up. If it wasn't for a prophet, how would you tell somebody not to be polygamist?
Right.
David did it. Why can't I?
Sure.
That's right. You know, Abraham, our father, had another wife. Come on. It was, and they made her do it.
Yeah.
She didn't even want to. They made her do it.
Yeah.
All these men of God, how are you going to answer it wrong? Well, then you got, now we've got the Word. God, Jesus said, look, it wasn't this way from the beginning, and I've come. Why did Jesus come? To restore man back to his original condition. He ain't supposed to be down here in this. God never wanted to curse his children ever. And the second you believe that, you'll raise up.
Amen.
The second you believe that God didn't make you to destroy you.
Amen.
He made you to fellowship with you.
Amen.
And maybe even this message is keeping some of us from going out and making mistakes.
Right.
Look, we're accountable now. That's right, brother, sister. You know. Don't go out there and do it again. You know, go on as you are. Because a lot of times people, they still won't believe what Brother Branham said about that they could go free. So instead they dwell on it. And what do? They make themselves an adulterer again.
Yes.
They make themselves an adulteress and they never get free of it.
Right.
Because they know the Word's looking. But God's given us Word. Go on as you are. Go serve the Lord.
Amen.
Serve Him with all your heart. Say, testify to others. Testify to your children. Testify to your co-workers. Testify to brothers who are about to make the same decision. Say, don't do it.
Amen.
You're just going to wreck your lives. God's trying to help you.
Sure.
Hallelujah. Have you heard from the Lord today?
Amen.
I know this is rough. This is down. But it's too late of an hour, as Brother Bram said, to dill it down around about it.
Yes.
It's too late to say, well, this is okay. This isn't. Stay with the Word.
Amen.
Stay with Christ. If you don't even know what to do, I'm going to tell you the best thing to always do is to worship the Lord.
Amen.
The best thing to do is to love on Him. Don't let the devil get your mouth shut. Open it up to Him.
Amen.
That's right. Don't let the devil close off your heart to where God can't even move you anymore. Can't even get a tear out of you. Can't even get some any kind of emotion. You're dead. If that's the case. But I'm dead to the things of the world. They used to excite me. That old husband used to get me all riled up and everything else. But now I've come to where the Word is what does it. The refreshment of the Spirit. I hope you love the Holy Ghost. Because there's a lot of it over in heaven.
Amen.
Hallelujah. There's a lot of Him over there. And I can just see that mountain. I'm so excited, brother, sister. I'm so excited that I can watch you run up, watch Brother Ronnie up there and give Jesus a hug and not feel a bit jealous or anything. And
right.
And just brothers on every side, sisters on every side. You see how glorious this is going to be?
Amen.
And this ain't a fairy tale. We got loved ones over there already rejoicing.
Sure.
That's right. They're waiting on the resurrection, but they're having a mighty good time, brother.
Amen.
He said that was just the waiting place. He said, perfect, don't touch it. He said, sublime, that don't even, no, nothing. He said, it's so far. He said, it ain't just a little joy. And joy. It's all joy.
Yeah.
Everything's joy. It's not a little bit of happiness. It's all happiness. Brother, sister, just believe that for a while.
Yeah.
Just really believe that. That's, you know what? If I die, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm done with this.
Amen.
I don't have to worry about, you know, whatever, trim healthy mama and essential oils and all this stuff. Can't eat the bread because it got poison in it. Come on, you hear me now. And that ain't just to make fun. That's the devil's in everything now. You can't trust the ground you're walking on, Harley. It's probably radioactive or something. Can't even breathe the air. They're telling us the jets are dumping all kinds of chemicals on us all the time. Your jet's going across. He said, they're not supposed to have smoke or something. All right, well, what am I going to do? Trust the Lord. That's right. Praise His name. Let's stand together. Praise the Lord. Let's worship Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, we appreciate you, Lord Jesus. Are you glad you're the Lord's today? Hallelujah. E flat, Dad. Just think on Him now, 424. If you don't know it, 424, but so glad I'm yours, Lord. So glad I'm yours. So glad your mercies followed me. Hallelujah. Help me out, Dad.
So glad I'm
grateful today. Thank you, Jesus.
So glad you found me.
Worship Him now.
And you set me free.
Has He set you free today? Yes, Lord.
So glad I'm yours, Lord. So glad I'm yours.
Situations all over this room. And I pray that it made sense. If it didn't, pray, say, Father, but just show me. Don't be in a cage no more. God has come. He's opened all the seals. He's shown behind there. And in this day, if you've got something on your heart that you want to serve the Lord, believe that God put that there. He put that there, that though you did get divorced, you did this, you made a mess of your family, you made a mess of your life, you burnt, maybe you were a product of it, and you didn't even know what you were raised here or there, and just chaos on every side. Come back to say, Lord, I don't know why. I don't know why I did it. I don't know why. I don't even really know why you allowed it. But at the end of the day, I'm going to trust you that, Lord, it's all working together for good. So ready to say, Lord, forgive my unbelief. Forgive me for doubt. Forgive me for trying to figure it out and not just trusting you. God bless you, brother, sister. God knows your heart. And say, Lord, I just want to serve you with all that's in me. Not as a taskmaster, not because you're making me, but Lord, I want to be a real wife. I want to be a real wife to you. I want to love you like a woman should love her husband. And I know, Lord, I don't got to worry about your end of it. You love me so much. Sure, sis, I know there's times your hubby gets upset, your stuff says something, does something, but don't worry about this husband. You have grace on him. You have mercy. Lord will work it out. Just keep loving one another. But you ain't got to worry about that, all of us, when it comes to the Lord Jesus. When you were his enemy, he died for you. When you were sick and running away, he said, child, I only allowed it so you'd come back. Once you come back, brother, sister, believe God. Believe him. Don't bring that luggage no more. Say, Lord, you brought me to you, and you promised first you'd heal my soul. I don't sit here in despair and not know whether I'm saved or not. You brought me back to this truth so I wouldn't be condemned with the world. I believe it. Believe it with all your heart. Hallelujah. And look, right in that same atonement was healing for your body. Right in that same atonement was peace for your soul, was love for your neighbor. It's all in that same blood that washes you away from who you used to be and makes you a new creation in Christ. With every head bowed, thank you, the Lord. What a presence. Do you feel His presence here this afternoon? This is the same thing that healed the sick. This is the same one that raised the dead. Can you raise up enough in faith and say, Lord, you know what's on my heart right now. You know my desire from you. And I'm going to accept it by faith. Hallelujah. God bless you, brother. God bless you, brother. That's why we raise our hand. It's a surrender. It's not me, Lord, it's you. I surrender to your promise. God bless you, brother. God bless you, sis. God bless you, sister. God bless you, sister. Don't be ashamed. Give him praise for what he does for you. Hallelujah. God bless you, sister. God bless you, sis. God bless you, brother. Hallelujah. Saying that's just a hand. Brother, sister, get your heart on the altar this afternoon. Say, Lord, I believe I've been set free. I believe I'm in that original covenant. I've got something, Lord, I got something worth praising you for. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. As I feel his liberation in the room already. What a spirit of God. Just keep worshiping him. Tell the devil to get off. Tell him to quit lying. Don't listen to him no more. Say, I'm a Christian. Shut up, devil. I've received the Holy Ghost. If you haven't, get it today. How, brother? Look, God wants to, he's pressing on you so hard. If you would just open your heart the littlest to him, he come flooding right in. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah in his presence now. If there's anyone who wants to come forward for prayer, if you just want to stand right there and surrender your need to the Lord, you do it. You do it. You give him praise for it. You believe him with all your heart. But if you say, Lord, I believe I need to get prayed for, then you do that. That's a promise in this word. Yes, it is. We lay hands on the sick. The prayer of faith will save the lost, and God will raise them up. God bless you, brothers. God bless you, sis. Is there anyone else? Would you come now? God bless you, sis. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Pray for these that are coming, too. Oh, thank the Lord. Thank you. hands of my brother's hands as he got in front of his. Lord, I feel your spirit here. I pray you heal these hands now by your spirit. We defy the devil and all his pain. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Give him praise. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, you're still the same today as you always were. There wasn't a soul that came to you that sought healing, but what you healed, Lord, I pray that your spirit now is lay hands on my sister. May you do the surgery on her, Lord, and heal her of these infirmities, Lord, and just bring her back to full health. And be careful to praise your name for it. Satan, we rebuke you in the name of Jesus Christ. Walk in dry places and let this body be well. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
So glad I'm yours. So glad I'm yours.
Lord Jesus, lay hands on us. May you go to your body, Lord, with your knee. May everything work out well. It should be walking again without pain or pains. Just be a testimony of your grace to her. So we praise you for it. Lord, heal her, we pray in Jesus' name. We pray, Lord, again that you heal her sister. Lord Jesus, cancer that's come. Lord, we've been praying for, we've been believing, Lord, to trial of our faith, that we raise her up again to you. Lord, pray you bring her back to full health and she get good news. Maybe on the road back to recovery. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Look on the Lord Jesus and sing that song. I saw love, mercy, and grace. I saw love,
yes,
mercy, and grace. I envision
in heavenly places. Look on the Lord. Love him today.
Oh, I saw love, mercy, and grace.
You love him with all your heart.
Yes. I saw love.
Today, give him praise now.
I saw love, mercy, and grace.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you for your presence, Lord Jesus. Thank you for being here. We worship you, Lord, and praise you today, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hear me, child of God. Be free in this age. Be free of your past. Be free of the bonds of the enemy. They've been unshackled from you.
Praise God.
By the grace of God, God has sent his word to liberate you.
Praise you, Lord.
So you could serve him free of conscience. Believe in the power of the blood. Believe in the power of the Holy Ghost that's here with us today.
Praise
his holy name. You care, but he'll praise his name for the goodness he shows towards you. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Hallelujah. If you don't know it, 584. But all hail King Jesus. All hail Emmanuel. 584 if you don't know it. All hail King Jesus.
Teaching this afternoon. I pray you're blessed. I pray you don't have any doubts, confusion. You know, the Lord came to show us how to not be in confusion. He's a God of peace. He's a God of comfort, and He wants His children to be free. And I thank God for sending us a message, for sending us the truth, so we wouldn't have to guess around no more. We wouldn't have to worry about what God we're serving, what we're not, or if I'm even serving Him right. We can know without a shadow of doubt. If He comes, I'm going. Because he can't go without me. I'm part of him.
Amen.
He's such a mighty God. He's, as he spoke to you today.
Amen.
In the sweetness of his spirit. Thank the Lord today.
Hallelujah. Well, as we go, I always like to worship Him. He's worthy of praise. He's worthy of honor. He's worthy of our joy. That's right. Because even when the world's falling apart, even when it looks hard, at the end of the day, we got a promise. We got a promise that this ain't what I'm made for.
Amen.
I'm not made for this covenant. I was made for a different one. And I'm going back. Amen.
Amen.
What a mighty God we serve. I'm going to sing that. It's a 585 if you don't know it, but it's still E flat, Dad. I'll give the service here. You can be dismissed on this. God bless you. God,
we serve.